Bell's numbers are in after being knocked out of first place by Toyota in 2008. General Motors has once again reclaimed its title as the world's top-selling automaker. Toyota took a tumble in 2011 when the earthquake, the tsunami, and nuclear disaster in Japan and flooding in Thailand forced it to cut back sharply on production. Despite these extreme circumstances, and despite the fact that General Motors, Ellis Hennekin, is still 26% owned by the taxpayers, tonight, big government is declaring victory. Here now to discuss are my freedom fighters, Fox Business anchor, and my colleague, Shibani Joshi. Ellis Hennekin, Newsday columnist and all-around good guy. And Peter Suderman, Reason Magazine associate editor. Peter, let me start with you. Does the government have any right to crow here? I mean, General Motors was born out of a government bailout, and it probably wouldn't have the cash that it has had it not been extracted from the taxpayers.
I think comparing the relative positions of these two companies right now is kind of like comparing two boxers, one of whom has just been given brass knuckles by the ref, the other one whom just got in a car accident. I mean, it's not a fair comparison, and you know who's going to win, but not because one fighter is necessarily better than the other. It's that one guy's got brass knuckles. I mean, look, this is a win for GM, but it's still a loss for taxpayers. GM got a $50 billion interest-free loan and a $20 billion tax carve-out. That's just not a fair way to fight.
Where in the Constitution, Ellis Hennekin, is the federal government authorized to own and operate automobile manufacturers?
And where in the Constitution are they prohibited from doing so? We make decisions, Judge, about what our economy needs. We should have a moment of silence right now in thankfulness that this thing happened. Yay us, yay U.S. It was the best money we ever spent.
Shibani, is this something to boast about? Does Wall Street agree with Peter Suderman or with Ellis Hennekin?
You know, I think Wall Street is divided. To some extent, I don't think anyone wants to see government intervention kind of creating this supported industry here. But at the same time, we have General Motors. It is sort of ticking on its own ever so more closely to the point that it will actually stop getting the resuscitation from the U.S. government. We are hoping it's making some strides, but to take a big victory lap and say that, you know, because of all these hardships that Toyota has seen, that it is the number one automaker and we should be cheering and raising our hands is a false victory. Right,
Peter, now. I think you know that I agree with you and Shibani. We shouldn't be taking this victory lap. If anything, we should be ashamed of ourselves that we took taxpayer dollars or borrowed it in their name, since the government has no cash left, and used it to shore up this company. But the victory lap may have another problem, Peter Suderman. Tell me what you think about this. It might encourage the government to do it again with another company and another industry to give itself bragging rights all over again.
Oh, sure. We're already seeing this being called a success, that this was a successful intervention, a successful bailout. I mean, is it really a success when you give a failing corporation a giant sack of money and suddenly their books look a little better? I mean, if you gave me a whole lot of money, my you know, sort of relative wealth position would be a little bit better off.
Got it. All right.
But that's not necessarily a success.
Switching gears, my friends. Sure, stocks are up a bit in the new year, but Wall Street is worried because trading volume is incredibly light. In fact, it's been the slowest and lowest volume start to the year since 2007, before the recession. Among the reasons for fear, the idea that politicians and central bankers, rather than economic fundamentals, will continue to drive market movements. Americans have been hoarding record amounts of cash, according to Federal Reserve data. Basically, the government interventions are, surprise, surprise, having the opposite of their intended effect. Okay. Why do you think trading has been so light that we're all talking about it?
Markets do not like uncertainty. And what we have is we have uncertainty and really the political narrative being dominated by what's happening in Europe. Then we have an election year coming up in this country. There is so much macro uncertainty that investors don't want to get in there. And it's unfortunate, Judge, because so far, year to date, the Dow's up 4%. The NASDAQ is up 6%. While all of this sort of scuffling goes on, American investors are getting hurt sitting on the sidelines.
Should we be concerned, Ellis Hennekin, about the low level of financial activity in the first 2.5 weeks of this year?
No, I'm not too worried about it. I mean, listen, you're right. If you're sitting out right now, you've missed some pretty good stuff lately. But, you know, these are markets and they're unpredictable and there's a lot of scary stuff in the world. And I understand people being cautious. But you know what? You can be too cautious and those who've set out are suffering from that now.
Well, let's see, Peter Suderman. We don't know what the payroll tax will become March 1st because the Congress, which can't get its act together, seems to want to change tax rates every 2 months. Might Shivani be onto something? Might the instability, the fear of the unknown, cause people to hoard cash rather than to invest it where it can grow?
Uncertainty can certainly have a big effect on markets. And right now, the biggest uncertainty is debt, global debt. I mean, we've got a Eurozone crisis that is still unresolved. And the best, you know, the most optimistic predictions say that it's going to be with us most of the year. The United States just hit $15 trillion in debt. We've got trillions more on the way. And the president doesn't have a credible plan to combat that. Of course, markets are going to react.
When traders engage in all this activity that they maniacally do during the day, we see them yelling and screaming at each other on the floor or buried into their computers. Do they take all these things into account? Do they take into account the fact that there's debt? So that means it's either going to be inflation or higher taxes, or both. Do they take into account instability?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those buy and sell orders that they're executing on, they're negotiating price, deal terms, sort of factors in everything that's on the table. The fact of the matter remains is that American consumers continue to be held back by this debt issue, not only internationally, but also with their own debt. They're unable to get out of debt. The jobless picture hasn't turned around. There's no real reason to let go of the cash.
Ellis, I'm going to give you the last word. Wouldn't the president prefer a more robust trading pattern in the year in which he seeks re-election than what we've seen so far?
Well, I'm more concerned about an investment pattern than a trading pattern. You know what? If people are buying and holding solid stocks, we probably better off with that than that crazy day trading that occurred over the last decade or so. I'm really not so worried about this. I mean,
is the president worried, Hennigan?
Well, listen, he'd rather the market be up. Thank goodness it's been up lately, right?
It's been down in the past 2 weeks.
Well, but it's been looking permanent.
It goes up, Ellis, it goes down.
President, so Peter Soderman, Shivani Josi, Ellis Hennigan, no matter what you say, you're welcome here. Thank you, guys.